2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Before we get going, time to qualify another golfer. It's the Unigolf Major Giveaway, where if you're calling number 12 right now, 855-340-ZONE, that's 855-340-ZONE. If you're calling number 12, then you will be assigned a golfer. Lloyd will give you a golfer to root for in the PGA Championship. You need to root for that guy because if he wins, you and a golf's going to turn around and give you the same brand of putter that he uses.
Lloyd, what two golfers did you give away earlier in the show? So we've had two qualifiers,
yep,
correct?
We'll be doing this every hour for the next couple of days.
Tony Finau and Billy Horschel.
I'd love to see Tony get a title.
Sheffield still on the roll?
Scotty Scheffler? Yeah, he's still there.
Is Schauffele?
Schauffele is still there.
Mm-hmm.
John Rahm still there. Colin Morikawa still there.
I'll be picking him on Wednesday just because to wreck his opportunities.
We can't forget. Yeah, we got to do the major pain in the butt.
Is the field still available?
Wednesday. The field's still available.
Is Tiger still in the field?
Yep.
Okay.
I know we got some Tiger Woods stuff coming up a little bit. Ooh, I thought we did. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Tiger Woods stuff may be coming up in Sports Roulette if it hits.
So, Hans, earlier, well, I saw the video earlier today. I think it probably was posted yesterday, but there was an interview done with Gene Smith. He's the athletic director at the Ohio State University. And he was asked about a bunch of things, including the overall name, image, likeness, and everything else that's at play right now in the transfer portal. And he was asked about the future and what the future might look like in the FBS ranks in terms of its ability to govern itself. And he complained a lot about throughout this interview, about the inability of the NCAA or any governing body to help out, because he knows that this transfer portal and NIL in the mix in the transfer portal with recruiting is making things all kinds of crazy. And he goes, we got to get a handle on this. This is getting out of hand and we got to be better. And he says we need a governing body. And here he talked about what he anticipates the future is going to look like.
This idea of this categorizing student athletes as employees because of the desire for certain benefits. It's very similar to what we see where it becomes this one size fits all across all of college sports.
Right.
And we know all of college sports is not created equally.
Right.
You've talked recently about the college football playoff taking over and being responsible for FBS as it relates to football. And when you think about that, and we think about name, image, and likeness, and now also transfer portal, where student athletes can sit out for a year without having to, or don't have to sit out now for a year and can go and transfer schools. It almost creates this somewhat of a quasi-free agency. What do you see if college football playoff were to take over responsibility? Kind of what do you see in the future? What could that look like for college sports? And how would that benefit kind of the college sports environment today?
Yeah, so, you know, the FBS are those schools that offer 85 scholarships or more. There's a clear distinction with the investment that those schools make and everybody else. And so to me, when you can take 130 schools as opposed to 352, the 130 schools who have the same mission, who have the same level of investment, you can create your own rules. You put in place your recruiting rules, your personnel rules, and your calendar for what football looks like, you don't touch anything else. You know, the basketball tournament stays the same. You know, your Olympic sport competition stays the same. The NCAA still manages your academics and the eligibility center. But for those schools, we can create our own rules and, you know, have our own commissioner, executive director, wherever it's called. You got the playoff thing looming. That those schools participate in the playoff anyway. So that becomes a part of the structure, whether it's 8, 12, or 16. And so to me, it's a model that allows us to decentralize intercollegiate athletics with those schools who are making the same investment in football. And we can address it. Because really, at the end of the day, that's where the noise is. You know, with all due respect, I love synchronized swimming. I really do. But nobody's writing about it.
Right.
Nobody's talking about it.
Right.
All the politicians aren't doing this for synchronized swimming.
Right.
And I love that sport. But at the end of the day, we need to separate ourselves and create our own structure. And it allows us to move faster, too, move expeditiously. If that structure was in place right now with NIL, we would already fix the inducement part.
Right.
We would have dealt with it because we can have our own enforcement inside or we can third party it. And we can actually say, okay, this is the highest priority. Go fix it. So I don't know. I just think that the Division I has been too big for so long. Well, not years ago when I was fighting, not just me, some of my colleagues were fighting for cost of attendance to change our scholarship model. It took us years to get there.
Right.
Because other schools voted against it. With all due respect to those schools, they're not us.
It's not the same.
They're not writing about those schools. The politicians aren't talking about those schools. And so, I don't know. I just kind of feel like we need to recognize that we're different, set up a structure to pay tribute to that difference because of the diversity that we're trying to serve underneath the NCAA tent of Division I doesn't work. It works for the basketball tournament.
Yes.
Because you can have a St. Peter's Evolve.
Or yes.
It works for baseball or track or tennis.
Right.
But it doesn't work for football. Let's just face the music and change it.
Yep.
So I don't know. I'm probably one of the few that thinks that way.
I don't know. Yeah.
So here's the thing. Okay, so there's a couple things that really stood out to me. Number one, he started out by saying 130 of us. He's talking about 1A, the FBS. But as he went on, I think he was also saying, look, these schools aren't us. And he's talking about Ohio State. And I think that I don't think these high-level P5 schools are too overly interested in other FBS schools like the Mountain West or maybe even some of their own like Vanderbilt or, you know, some of these other schools that just got lucky to be at the right place at the right time. Like, I do think he said 130 because I don't think he wants to tip his hat, but I do think that there is a separation coming and it's not going to involve all 130 FBS schools.
Yep.
Because he said, look, the diversity of Division I football has been such where he feels like the rules that should apply to these schools shouldn't apply to us because we're different. And we need to accept the fact, everybody needs to accept the fact that a bunch of us are very different than everybody else. And so essentially saying we're tired of being scrutinized and being held back because we got to worry about Montana State mm-hmm. or worried about San Diego State or worried about Wyoming or even Utah State. And that separation is coming. I think they're upset that this NIL thing got out of hand, that he feels like they could have squashed this thing very quickly or put rules in place that would have allowed this thing not to get out of hand, and they could have done it immediately instead of pleading to politicians or the NCAA or whoever to get things done. Like, if anything over the last year, this separation was already coming, but what's happened over the last year has accelerated it tenfold. And I think in the next year, 2 years, maybe even sooner.
It's coming.
There's going to be announcement coming.
It's coming. Yeah, absolutely. Get ready for it because it is coming. And I think that there are going to be some left in and some that are left out. You know, you brought up Vanderbilt. I could think of maybe a team like Rutgers that, you know, you look at them, you're thinking, all right, so should you be in with the big boys? Should you be getting that big paycheck? Are you doing as much for them as they're doing for you? And would you do as much for a 64-team major conference? And I think every single conference has one or two of those teams that could be talked about. You know, if you're talking about separating it as a football university and not a basketball university, then you're looking at, you know, Duke and the ACC. Duke football's never done anything ever.
Yeah.
That I could ever remember. Can you?
No. I mean, you can go Washington State. You can go Oregon State. I mean, there's a lot of schools.
You could go Kansas.
Yeah.
Easily you could go Kansas. And so every...
And again, I want to go back. He's saying this has nothing to do with basketball. This has nothing to do with...
It's a governing body for football.
For football. Football only.
Why not?
Yeah.
And I do think it's coming quick. And I think everybody needs to brace themselves for it a little bit. And I do wonder if some of the more recent additions, and you've got to talk about BYU, you talk about Cincinnati, Houston, you know, all these universities are going to be vetted, talked about, they're going to look, and you got to imagine that they're going to have all kinds of assigned things for these universities to be a part of this new governing body, and then you'll have to have universities that sign off on it, and some might not.
Yeah.
Some might not want to say, all right, take our football program and govern them differently than you govern our basketball, volleyball, and that guy said, water polo or synchronized swimming or whatever it was.
I do think that there's a couple different ways. I mean, you could have 64 teams. You could have 32. And I had this brought up to me by a coach recently that I thought was interesting. Where he said, like, look, they may, just to avoid any potential lawsuits, say every, you know, all 130, you're welcome. You can all come. Oh, by the way, your budget needs to be this. Your stadium needs to be this. And go through a list of qualifications.
That eliminates a lot.
And that these schools will be like, we can't do it. We can't do it. And so you have an open invitation and say, everybody can be a part of this, but you got to hit these standards to be there. And if not, then, all right, you can stay with the NCAA and have a cool, you know, program or whatever.
Like, I could see them put in writing that's like, you cannot have orange and blue as your primary color or any type of horse as your mascot. It's like, oh, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, and I don't know, like, we see these athletic budgets that are like $150 million, but your annual football athletic budget has to be at $75 million or, you know, some number like that.
So this reorganization, I believe, is coming very quickly. I think that there are a lot of coaches that I've not talked to any, but my guess is there would be a lot of coaches that feel like this is coming as well. Because they look at it, they know this transfer portal has to change, this one and done has to change, this NIL has to change. All of these things, they've got to change. And I'm not saying it has to go away, but it has to be governed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody's out there doing their own thing. Nobody is reporting any misdeeds. And it's like, all right, what are we getting now? And I think it's going to be sooner than later that we see somebody come in and say, nah, we're going to fix this.
Well, but you got, I think we can be honest here. You got BYU. Who just got into the Big 12, Utah, who just got, you know, has been, what, a decade now into the Pac-12, I don't think anybody's safe. Like, I think I would assume they would be, but this thing could be pretty drastic. It could be 32 teams. They're probably thinking, hey, look, we got 32. There's 32 NFL teams. Why do we need 64? Why do we need 100 of these upper-level college football teams? Let's make it the elite of the elite.
They could do that.
I mean, I don't think it'd be 32. I would assume it'd be 64. But, I mean, just because you got invited to the party right now doesn't mean you get to stay. I would assume you would, but I think everybody should probably be on pins and needles right now, unless your name is Alabama or Georgia or LSU, you know, Clemson. I think
USC.
USC.
I know it's been a long time since USC's been relevant, but they still have a seat at the table.
Yeah, they're still relevant.
You know, Texas and Oklahoma will have a seat at the table. And as you mentioned, Ohio State's going to be in there probably trying to make some noise. You'll get one or two of the Florida teams, Florida, maybe Miami, that'll sit there and be like, hey, listen to us too. But there is an elite group of universities and their football programs that if they did get together and they're like, like you could pick out 32 and it could make the others pretty irrelevant in the grand screen, in the TV contract world.
Yeah.
It could make it pretty irrelevant. If you, there's 32 teams you could pull out of college football right now, and you could make a league out of those 32, and you could demand insane TV revenue contracts. And those 32 teams know who they are, and they could get in a room, and they could get really exclusive.
Hey, you know what? Honestly, I say you take all 130 teams. They all get invited. It's all ran by the college football playoff, and you have different divisions like soccer. And there's relegation, and there's, what do you call it, promotion.
I would love to see that. Yeah, I would love to see that. By the way, I hope that room gets together, and they're like, let's just not bring the ACC. Did somebody leak it to Miami?
You guys.
You leaked it? Gosh, now they're going to go talk to Florida State, and then it's going to
get Florida, and then the state legislature.
Then they're going to come in. They're going to cry about it. Just tell me you didn't talk to Virginia schools or West Virginia schools. Tell me that.
Well, West Virginia doesn't have the internet, so I think we're going to be okay.
Oh, man. 32 schools could get pretty elite. I think it's going to be 64.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be within 3 years.
Yeah. All right. 231. Hands and Scotty. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
We're joined now by Mark Manson, UVU men's basketball coach.
What is your assessment of the state of college basketball?
There are a lot of frontiers and a lot of pioneering things that are happening right now in college basketball. When the best players now go into the portal, they can expect $300,000 plus, $400,000 plus, maybe $500,000. When it's all said and done, I think it's a great thing for the players. Now, there are some issues. For example, there's no salary cap. A school like Duke, a school like UCLA, University of Texas, theoretically, these schools can be paying millions and millions of dollars. In the NBA, you can put a player under contract. In college basketball, it's basically a one-year deal every single year for your team. And so at some point, we've got to figure out how to address that because it's just free agency every spring, and it's wild.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. I hope you're all having a tremendous Monday.
I don't want this 64 thing to come down because I worry that one or two of the schools here in the state would be left out.
Yeah.
Maybe all.
I'm big into the relegation thing. Like, let's build this thing out. You've got a level one that's got, you know, 40 teams or 32 teams or wherever, and you build it out. And so everybody has a chance out of these 130 schools that if they string together a bunch of good years, they could be in that level.
But all of them would have to be governed by this body.
Yep.
That's,
yeah, exactly.
You would all have to conduct your football business this
with that.
Way.
Yep.
The thing is you're always going to bump into the Title IX conversation of you can't separate your football from your other sports. Well, figure out a way.
Yeah.
We're doing everything else the way – like everybody else is just doing it their way they want to do it in this country. Figure out a way. Well, it's all run by big money.
I wonder if you have to make them employees and that's the way you get around it. I don't know.
Then do it.
Yeah.
Do something because I'm – hell, going back to when I was playing college football, we wanted separation then. And every time, you know, you'd have a conversation with an adult when you're that age, they'd be like, well, you just don't understand the connection of the Title IX and blah, blah, blah. And we got, and it's like, wait, how much money are we making? How much money are they making? Well, that's all relevant only if you – and it's – no, it's very simple. This program makes a ton of money. These programs cost a lot of money. And this is coming from a dad of three daughters that loves the fact that they have scholarships. Yeah. And they're out. My girls are out there earning them and living on scholarships. And that's great. And I love that. But in a realistic world, it's – wait a second. Who's bringing in the dollars? Because college football is bringing in a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And has been for a long time. So separate it. Figure out a way to separate it and then govern it so that you can help kids too. Because kids are getting caught up in criminal activity right now. And you'll never stop all the criminal activity, but at least you could slow some of it down. Maybe. I don't know. Even if you have a governing body, I'm sure Ohio State's still out there doing
well. Yeah, they'll all cheat.
They'll all find a way to cheat.
Yeah. All right. Time for Sports Roulette. Lloyd takes some of the big storylines, puts it on a roulette wheel, spins it, and wherever that little ball lands is what we end up talking about. So Lloyd, fired up.
Chris Paul's future plans.
Chris Paul, after the ugly loss last night, said, you play long enough and you don't win. Every time you lose, they're going to say it was your best chance. But I think for me, it's... we'll be right back here next year. I'll tell you that much. I am not retiring tomorrow, thank God. Hopefully, I'm healthy coming back, but I'm going to keep playing. So, Chris Paul coming back for his 28th year.
He'll be 38 next year.
In the NBA. Is this 28th or his 27th season? Chris Paul coming back, and I know that, people want to attack him, but Chris Paul has been incredible these last couple of years as Phoenix has dominated the West as far as record's concerned. He averaged 23.5 points and just two turnovers in the first two games against Dallas, where they went 2-0.
Yeah.
And in the last five games, by the way, he turned 37 on May 6th.
Yeah.
After... they went 2-0.
Yeah.
He turned 37.
Oh.
So after he turned 37, he averaged 9.4 points and 3.6 turnovers in the next five games, including the abysmal and ugly Game 7.
Wow. Maybe he's hitting the Peyton Manning number.
Maybe you get that
certain age, and all of a sudden it just falls apart.
So Chris Paul is now 3-5 in Game 7s in his career.
Wow.
This was his fourth Game 7 loss in a row.
Interesting. Maybe it's time to shut it down.
Well, Phoenix having the best record in the NBA in the regular season and losing in the second round, it just goes to show, man, you never know.
Hey, by the way, did you hear any of the Patrick Beverley comments this morning? So Patrick Beverley hops on, First Take or one of those dopey ESPN shows. And I think J.J. Redick has kind of paved the way for some of these guys because there used to be, I don't know if some kind of code or what, for these former players or in Pat Beverley's case, current player. I mean, like, hey, man, we get that strut. You know, these guys you still played with or played around. You got to, you know, be easy. Pat Beverley said, you know what the nickname is for Chris Paul? It's Cone because he stands there like a cone defensively. You just go right around him. And so,
said that, huh?
And so you got J.J. Redick who went at some people, and now Pat Beverly's like, fine, let's go. And I love it. I mean, I love the fact these guys are just speaking their mind. And we'll see if I can pull some and play it on tomorrow's show. But
did Redick go after Simmons?
Redick went a little after Simmons, and he's going after pretty much just anybody.
He went after James Harden, too?
A little bit, yeah. And so he went after Zion, remember, when
Jack Zion said he was a bad teammate?
Because C.J. McCollum, because, yeah, he hasn't gotten back to me. I've reached out to him.
Hasn't even contacted him. Yeah, he's gone after some people.
And Pat Beverly just went scorched earth on Chris Paul earlier today. And you wonder if, you know, look, the years are starting to pile up, and this may have been Phoenix's window, and now it's shut. It does feel a little bit like the Jazz last year when they lost the Clippers in the second round. Like, they had the best record in the league.
Yeah.
It was seemed like, and you know, Golden State was down with their injuries. The Lakers were out with their, you know, issues. And it's like, this is laying out for the Jazz. This is their opportunity. And when it didn't happen, you're like, oh, no, because Golden State's going to be back. And we thought the Lakers would be back, but they're not. But and then it went away. And your window is so narrow that if you're not able to push through, it may not open again for another, you know, 10 years or so. And I think Phoenix is probably feeling that right now. Like, that was our shot, and now it's gone.
Well, Chris Paul will be back next season. According to him, he will be back next season.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you mentioned this and you're talking about it, I just thought, in a really quick thought, how bad I want Dallas to win the West.
Yeah.
I want Luka Doncic and Dallas to win the West.
Well, I mean, if you look at the teams left, I think they're – I don't really care about Miami. Boston, I like the way Boston plays. And I like their players, but I don't want anything good to happen to that city because I think their fans are the
worst.
Like, I wish I wish that it was like
their fans,
the Oklahoma
terrible.
City Celtics or like anybody else, but not Boston.
Yeah, because I do like the team.
Because the team is so darn likable. It's just the city doesn't deserve them.
Hey, did you see some of the criticism that Danny Ainge was getting for being at that game? Like the Jazz fans were being like, right, Danny Ainge at game seven, blah, blah, blah.
People need to lighten up.
I just saw, it was like five or six tweets.
Hey, maybe he's scouting players like, you know, who was it? The Knicks were at the Jazz series.
Maybe that's his team he put together, though.
Yeah, maybe he's scouting Tatum.
He built the team.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
Scouting Tatum.
Take that.
Yeah.
All right.
He's good, man. That Celtics team's good. And guess what? Boston would give Golden State everything they could possibly handle.
Well, and I think Dallas is going to give them everything they can handle, too.
They've got they've definitely got the guys that'll hustle.
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming Golden State will win that series, but I won't be rooting for them.
We'll see, because Luka is proving a lot of people wrong. Well, I don't know if that's the right way to put that. Luka is just showing a lot of people.
Yeah. Spin it.
Protect the ball at all costs.
So I wanted to run this by you. Did you see the end of that Dallas Phoenix game with Boban getting in a brawl?
Yeah.
So the TV broadcast cut away, but there are different angles out there that show that Boban got the ball left with Dallas, got the ball left with 5 seconds, comes across half court. And he's just going to dribble the thing out. And Holiday kind of snuck up, stole the ball, takes two quick dribbles, gets to about 5-6 feet behind the three, and launches a three and hits as time expires. And Boban's looking around like, wait a second, you just stole. I'm just the entertainer guy. Like, I'm out here just to finish this thing and dribble this out.
Yeah.
You're down by 150. You already look stupid. You're not going to do something dumb like that, are you? And sure enough, Holiday steals it. So then Holiday turns, and I guess Holiday was teammates with Dinwiddie. So Dinwiddie and Holiday are kind of going back and forth. And all of a sudden, Boban comes just bull charging into this group.
That's so good.
And he's trying to get to Holiday, and bunch of guys grab Jay Crowder of everybody ends up kind of grabbing Boban and pulling him back, and it was like, because nobody really got to see what happened. I didn't even know what happened other than I saw a little skirmish until this morning. I was watching it. Okay, so who's in the wrong? Boban for charging Holiday or Holiday for doing something stupid like that, or Boban for not protecting the ball with 5 seconds left.
You shouldn't have to worry about protecting the ball with 5 seconds left.
Up by 30.
Up by 30.
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't blame Drew Holiday either. Like, it's a big nothing burger. Like, all right, Boban, you want to hold the ball, then hold the ball. If Holiday wants to steal it and keep playing, then that's well within his rights. I think it's like, I don't blame anybody for anything on this. I think it's really silly that he's all upset. What are you truly upset about, Boban? That you don't get to take the ball into the locker room? Like, what are you upset about? That you got shown up and made it look silly?
Well, guess what?
No, you're not playing anyway, so nobody has any expectations for you.
Okay, so does Aaron Holiday have, like, repercussions? Is there, like, an unspoken repercussion for him?
No. I mean, I wouldn't think so.
You don't think players are going to hold it against him?
I would hope not.
I wonder, though.
Yeah.
I wonder if you're looked at as like a bat flipper in baseball or something. I don't know. It seemed ugly. But at the same time, I do look at Boban. I'm like, hey, Boban, how about you look around a little bit? I know you're dribbling out 5 seconds. I know that you've already got the win. I know that Luka Doncic didn't even play a second in the fourth quarter, which I think is overlooked, by the way. You look at his stat line and the fact that he didn't even play in the fourth quarter. What do you have, 35? Let me pull. I've got his numbers here. 35 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals in 30 minutes.
I mean, he outscored or has had as many points as Phoenix did at halftime.
Yeah.
27 all.
And had 35 points by the time they pulled him in the third quarter.
Jeez.
Hey, Boban, look around. Hey, Aaron Holiday, don't be an idiot.
Don't be that guy. All right, there you go. Coming up next, we'll wrap this thing up, get you ready for Unrivaled, straight ahead right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
Donovan Mitchell by himself wasn't good enough to carry a team. He needed the team around him.
Yep.
He wasn't ready to be the guy.
That's still true.
I think that's the question for Donovan Mitchell. Is he did the first step, which was blazing rookie, jumped onto the scene, exploded. Then he kind of did the next scene, which was, okay, he really truly established himself, not as Tyreek Evans, not as a flash in a pan. He needs to figure out how to stop performing being a leader and how to actually be a leader. He knows how to win press conferences. He knows how to say the right things. I need to see him do the right things. And I don't know if he can do that as long as he has the safety net of Rudy Gobert next to him.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Alright, wrapping up another edition of the show, Hans and Scotty. Hope you are all having a tremendous start to your week. Monday is here, folks. But fortunately, it's almost over.
Did you see who the highest cap hit is for quarterbacks in the NFL?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Tannehill's a $38.6 million cap hit for Tennessee.
You should be nicer to that Malik Willis guy. He's like, look, I'm getting 36 regardless. I don't care.
Holy moly.
You want to play him? All 17 games, let's go. Throw them in there. I'll just sit back. We'll get beat up. Cash these checks. We'll be fine.
That's ridiculous, isn't it? Scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for this upcoming NFL season?
About a 14.
Lloyd, you feeling that way?
It cannot get here soon enough.
Lloyd, we promoted and talked about your Raiders quite a bit while you were gone.
We did, yep.
We were fair.
And fortunately, you were out during the whole Jerry Jeudy thing, too. That was good.
And we were fair and honest about that.
Yes, we were.
Did you see our guy's tweet?
Come on, that was funny.
I'm just telling you right now, if Elon Musk didn't own Twitter, you'd have been gone.
I would have got banned for that.
And you know it.
Mean Donald on the outside looking in?
Yeah. You got
your Jeudy one where you said,
He would have dropped that too or something?
Yeah, the Chargers, much like the Pats.
You, James Wood. Is it Woods or Wood?
Oh, James Woods. I think it's Woods. Yeah.
And Donald Trump on the outside looking in. Lloyd, scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for the upcoming NFL season? You're 10? Flashing a 10, 10, 10?
What was that again, Lloyd?
Who was your biggest offseason acquisition? So, it was probably...
Oh, my gosh.
I can't wait till your voice is shot.
Oh,
I'm so excited.
Kyle...
Stop. No. No. Nope.
F. Olsen.
Lloyd, we're just glad you're back, bud.
We are glad you're back. I didn't know if you were coming back or not. I sent you an email today.
Yeah.
Didn't hear anything back.
I don't think Lloyd knew either.
I don't know. I rolled in right when the show was
ending. Yeah, I know.
I got coming in.
Like, I showed up here, and I wasn't that overly early. Like, it was about 11:50. I'm sitting in your office, and I knew you hadn't been in your office, and Hans isn't here. I'm like... And Megan comes in, she's like, am I doing the show? And I'm like, I don't know.
I hate having to have people fill in and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, I can't do that to them again. Trust me, I crawled out of bed at like 10:30, and I'm like, okay, I got to get in the shower.
Hey, when you got out of bed, how dizzy were you? Because you've been in bed for, what, 4 days?
Yes, 4 days.
So our listeners didn't send you any?
No, I didn't get anything at all. I haven't been on social media really much.
Oh, okay.
I've been in bed. That's all I've been. I've just been in bed.
All right. Well, I know our listeners have been thinking about you.
Very concerned. Yeah. All right. Unrivaled coming up next, but not the Rona, right?
How bad was it? Both types?
Lloyd's got all the variants.
All three? The original?
It feels like it.
The original and Delta and Omicron?
Yeah, it feels like it.
Is it because we're isolated for so long? Because it seems like people, when they get sick, even like non-Rona stuff now, they're getting sicker.
Yeah.
Is it because we were all
I have no idea. So I went to Instacare yesterday because I'm like, this thing's not going away.
Yeah.
And so I went and I didn't have the Rona.
Yeah.
I didn't have flu, but my temp was still at like 102.
Did they give you some chewable vaccination?
No. They give me anything. In fact, I had
that was something different.
Oh. You can give me anything. I was like, okay, well, thanks. I'm so glad I wasted my time to come in here.
They're like, sorry.
No,
on
I didn't
your
get
way.
Anything. In fact, I had to call them back and say, hey, can you like give me something for my cough? Because it's like, I'm like just hacking along here.
Can I get some OxyContin for my cough at least?
Yeah, right. I hate you guys. A
couple Loratab for my cough?
Just something.
Some hydros? Come on.
We don't do those at Instacare. I'm like, oh, really?
Yeah, they don't.
What is it that you say you do around here?
That's the biggest problem.
What would you say you do around here?
I don't know, but here's your give us your $100 copay and get out.
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Hunt.
Oh, did we just shout out a doctor?
Wow. Yeah. Lloyd's really salty, man.
I am.
Wow,
trust
we just
me.
Attacked a doctor on air.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Dallas has changed us.
Yeah, it has. All right. Unrivaled next, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.